me home, take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me from some other beginning's end.
You are now tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio. I am your host, Uncle Sam. Very excited about tonight's show. This is episode number 96. This is the State of New England Hip Hop. We were on here last year with Tim LaRue, Dart Adams, Bedlam, and Justice Born talking about what was going on in the scene. That was a follow-up to an earlier conversation on the College Blueprint over at BU, but they passed the rock to us. We brought them on. We discussed a number of topics about the state of the scene, what were some big surprises over the past year, what some big hurdles were going forward, things we'd like to see, predictions, etc. And we're bringing back 3 out of 4 of those guys tonight to follow up. We're going to do this every year and keep checking in, kind of keep ourselves honest and see who's listening, see what's going on, and, you know, just keep checking in, because if you're not checking the vitals, you know, you can get lost in the sauce there. So the vibe is crazy in the city right now. The energy is nuts, so we're real excited for this conversation. If you missed it, last week we had Casa on. We dropped a 2-part interview with him. Blackout Season is alive and well. Definitely check that out. If you haven't heard it, you can search LFOD on iTunes, Stitcher, Google, wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to LFODradio.com. We're also on SoundCloud/LFOD. We're about to be live on Facebook. If you're tuned in there, shout out. If you're tuned in on your radio and you want to listen more in the future, Facebook, LFOD Radio, it comes with video. And Twitter, @LiveFreeODRadio, if you want to join the discussion. We're going to get things set up here, but in the meantime, we definitely want to play some music. Boston Music Awards were last week, and the homies cleaned up. It was real dope. We're definitely going to talk about the BMAs, but definitely one of the biggest had to be Still Gold, taking home just about everything. So we're going to do Tough off Torch Song, which was the album of the year, according to the BMAs, and it's tough to disagree with that. This one's called Tough. It's by Still Gold. You're tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio.
Sneakers and 40 bucks. Trying to find a better way in life, but we surrounded by thieves and murderers. Eat pizza and burnt burgers. Silver servants that don't serve us. Raise blaze and stash burners. Bricks on bricks on bricks. Seems like the whole world turned a blind eye to all of these project kids. Section 80. I've been on the block watching all the cops getting wavy. TV, what have you believe? We sitting back, fat, black, and lazy. This is when all that we got is us. This is when handouts are not enough. Sports programs, art programs, job programs getting cut. And all I'm trying to do is feed my baby. Killers here is just locking this up. Rocks in the pocket, running out of options. Bodies on the carpet, money in the bank. I don't think there's anything I can do to stop it. The 45, the clip is inside, and I'm looking for reasons to pop it. My predicament is shocking. Living here is very toxic. It seems like everybody's watching, ain't nobody doing nothing. It's alarming. Voted for Obama, we ain't got no fathers. Rappers are martyrs. Put our faith in the revolver, getting chased by helicopters. Monsters are all around us. I'm running from my own problems. I can't admit what is real. I'm just rapping what I feel. The whole block behind bars. Filled with chicken and beer. Every block is all that you fear. Getting shot will make you famous. Walking down the block is dangerous. Projects pile us on strangers. Jails and pile us on strangers. Back in the day they used to hang us. Now they throw us up in bars. Gold teeth, rhyme a little and the world is ours. All the jewelry and the pretty cars. Mama wasn't home to give me love. AR, don't throw me up. Killing our own. In the grave digging is a hole really deep enough. This is for my niggas on the bus. OJ with the bloody gloves. Ain't nobody here that we can trust. Ain't nobody here that we can trust. Ain't nobody here that we can trust.
Nobody, 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 n Watch me, I'ma show you how to ball. When you start to stunt, want you to fall. Still the same kid with the thugs inside the hall. Cut some people off and it cleared me from the fog. Ay, can he put me up on game to grow and cut the cost? Do it for my brothers without family loss. Living in the trap, running plays like Randy Moss. Off-white Nikes, lace up clean. Lean liquor ash on my undercover jeans. This little bad from your dreams. Fresh as Listerine when I pull up to the scene. Off-white Nikes, lace up clean. Lean liquor ash on my undercover jeans. This little bad from your dreams. Cleanest Listerine when I pull up to the scene. Ay!
On some brain blown full of smoke, living in a terror dome. Bad kid, born a killer king with my hands. Put him up, runners run him up, kinda gun him up, sun him up, brother run a luck. I'm a ton of fun, is when I'm running up, stunner runner up. I'm a number one, wake up with the sun, thinking, make a buck. What a clutch, every buck he touch, getting crumpled up. Suck it up, cause gut till he double up. Double down, dummies get a crown when I'm in the dust, dead and done. So then you delayed, baby, wait, baby, this is not a drill. Lady Jamie is a thrill, $100,000 bill, y'all all law, get the deal. What a odd duck, I don't buy the side, oh no man, what? Roll me like you POTUS in an ocean made a clan nut. And Mikey, most of these soldiers are simply so-called. The holster they holding is empty, the toaster that they imagine inventing and putting holes in their enemies simply doesn't exist. We Buffalo, run them off cliff.
Hey, look at Mikey flow, look at Mikey go, look at Mikey Jamie making milli, and nobody know. Mikey, he went maniac like Wayne when he went waniac and did a milli, but I've been this silly, really. And you motherfuckers really know that you been really feel me, but you hit emotion, so I know you really feel me. Feel me. Yo, coulda, shoulda, woulda, stoulda, stutter. I'm a motherfucker. Ask your baby mother, motherfucker. Missy boy, talking Jerry Curl, greasy boy. Nigga with an attitude, Westside Atlanta, young, easy boy. Beat your girl, flapjack, flat, fat, black, flow, flipper, flip, flat. Take that on, argue, hold. Get nervous in my old age bar. Nobody make yourself known. Take a shot, took by the eye. Only trust Jamie, I don't trust nobody. And if you with him, bullet holes in your body.
Static.
Move on it, put jewels on it, who want it? Who want it? Move on it, put jewels on it, who want it? Who want it? Put jewels on it, put jewels on it.
All right, we are back on Live Free or Die Radio. We got Bedlam the Show Off in the building. One second, let me turn your mic up. We got Bedlam in the building.
What's going on? What's going on? Finally here. Sorry I'm late.
Welcome. And we got Tim LaRue on the phone.
Live from the West Coast.
Yes, sir. And we just played a run of Boston hip-hop there. We had two from Still Gold. We had Tough and Good off the album of the year, according to the Boston Music Awards, Torch Song. And then we had Cousin Stiz, Artist of the Year, with Laces. And, Lace Up. And then finally Stag Selecta with Put Jewels on It off his new album. So Boston is strong, strong, strong. Tim, you got to be feeling good about the BMAs.
Yeah, feeling great. Feeling great for everybody. It was a good representation, like you were talking about.
Yeah, I feel like they did much better job this year with hip hop. They've been definitely reaching out to more people, and it showed.
Yeah, Paul's been working on that. I mean, I've been in communication with him like the last year, and he's made a lot of efforts from what I've seen to just like, you know, broaden it a little bit. And it seems like everybody got involved in some way between like the 6 and 7 sessions, and just having a better representation at the show. He was like, he wanted Stiz to perform, that just didn't work out. But a trial, a bunch of guys performing. It was, you know, it's dope that they're reaching out like that.
Yeah, there was a ton of hip hop. Avenue, Latrell, Still Gold. Yep. it was dope. It was definitely dope. The awards themselves, I think they got the awards right. I think the show could use a little work, but the awards themselves definitely were great. Bedlam, you were there. Do you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I actually agree with Tim said, you know, Paul definitely made like a real valiant effort to include the right people in what was going on this year. I felt like this is the first time that I've gone, and I've gone to, you know, a bunch in the past and stuff like that. And I always felt like it was either just a lot of friends being nominated or just like safe, like, oh, let me just go find this random person and nominate them versus going out and doing the research and seeing who's actually, you know, building fan bases, you know, and doing the actual work. So this was a year that I actually didn't walk out of there and felt any kind of, you know, way about it. And I was also happy, you know, a lot of my clients, you know, cleaned up this year and were acknowledged. You know, it was really dope, you know. And other previous years, it's been more so based around rock and other stuff, and you couldn't deny the urban music presence this year. Like, it was just something that everybody celebrated and loved, so it was a win.
Absolutely.
Hey, I don't know if you can do anything about this. I can barely hear Bedlam, like, super, super quiet.
Can you hear him now?
Can you hear me now?
That's a little better, yeah.
He's going to have to speak directly into the microphone.
Yeah, I'm not a rapper, sorry.
There we go.
My mic control's terrible.
Now you are.
All right.
Now you are. You got it.
You can hear Tim fine?
Yep, I hear him perfect.
All right, and Dart will be here. I'm sure we'll all hear Dart loud and clear. So
yeah, we'll hear him from down the block.
He's probably outside. Anyway, so I was really happy about the BMAs. I look forward to seeing it grow. I know it's the first one under new ownership, so definitely a lot of steps being made in the right direction. And I think... Well, I kind of wanted to wait for Dart, but we should just get into this. Basically, the point of this discussion, I think we touched on a bit last year for the listeners, is to bring these behind-the-scene convos to the forefront. You know, these are conversations that are happening, whether you're in the room or not, and we're kind of pulling back the curtain a bit and giving a peek to the type of convos that go on, you know, in regards to the scene. One of the things we talked about last year, which I'd recommend anyone who hasn't heard to go listen to that, we talked a lot about the talent was here, but we needed the infrastructure to come together and venues to open up and various things. How do you guys, I have my own thoughts on this, but how do you guys feel that part of our goal for this year has come together?
I guess I'll go first. I feel like there's been a lot of progress on that side from the previous year. I think people are starting to understand that they have to treat this as a business and not just rely solely on the music. And I think people are starting to get a lot more responsible with their actions. You know, they're getting set up behind the scenes and they're not waiting for people to come and discover them. They're throwing their own shows and they're just taking a lot more of their own careers in their own hands. And I think that level of responsibility is what's ultimately is the thing that's going to really grow the scene here. You know, there's a lot of talent here. There's tons of talent here, but, you know, who are those people who are really going above and beyond versus just, oh, I go to the studio and make music. Now people are creating platforms and, you know, creating situations for networking and things of that nature. And people are growing together. Like, you can actually see groups of people, you know, bringing others in and they're all growing simultaneously. That's huge for the market.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I listened back to our conversation last year the other day. And a lot of what we all were saying, and I was saying, was that, you know, a big thing of it is just people need to take themselves and their business more seriously. And that's what I've seen even outside looking in. I haven't been there physically as much, but, you know, outside looking in, I've seen just individuals across the board, teams, everything, just, I think, realizing that, you know, there's money to be made, there's opportunity to be had, and it just seems like everyone is taking it a bit more seriously, and that just helps, like, the overall infrastructure as a whole, even if, you know, the scene itself, you know, like, the things that make it up aren't necessarily changing or developing. It's like the people are, you know, just making the most of their opportunities and making the most of what they have to work with. So it's been cool to see that.
Agreed. And I think everything has sort of started to define itself. We had a caller a few weeks ago who had just been, you know, searching hashtags, and he found us and he found someone else we knew. He found the Good Music Showcase. He found people are starting to, because it's been more consistent, and because people are more professionally consistent, when you're looking in, it's easier to pick your entry points, I think, if you want to touch down in Boston and see what's going on. We've got we've kind of established a bit of a like touring circuit in a way. I noticed this big 2 weeks ago with Fresh Kills. I saw him up in Maine on Saturday night at the Ruckus Cup, which was a $1,000 freestyle rap battle they do. A guy from Rhode Island went up and run it, but that's hosted by the Rap Night guys, who have a show every Wednesday night in Portland and every Sunday in Manchester. And he did that show on a Saturday, had another off night. You can do another off night Sunday. And then he was down at the Stew Showcase and he performed there. And he was telling me how dope it is that he can come to New England. And not only there are events, but they're on like off nights that are normally tough to fill on tours. But here we have these weeklies that are starting to, you know, they have built-in fan bases. Opus, Justice couldn't be here tonight, but Opus is still going strong too on Wednesdays up in Salem. So I think it is starting to come together in that way. But in terms of, and also in terms of artists, we've seen a bunch blow since that last conversation. Joyner is literally on CNN right now. Stiz is cleaning up. Static is still doing his thing. There's experimental events going on. Another main thing, I keep talking about Maine, but they're doing, they just had Pharaoh Monch up at a brewery up there. And they're doing shows at breweries, like just connecting weird dots, not asking, you know. In terms of venues in Boston, I think it's still like art galleries and stuff. There isn't another, I don't know if the Middle East has really been challenged yet. In terms of what you were talking about, Tim, about having like a 150 cap room.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know, I don't know what's been going on over Sonya. I know it's like a little bigger. Like, obviously, that's like another space. But yeah, from what I can see, like anybody that I'm kind of affiliated with in any way, it's still kind of like very DIY, which is cool, you know. And like I said last time, like I'm not sure, you know, that's like more of a long term thing, like,
yeah,
you know, building out rooms and things of that nature.
Mass Apparel's been throwing more shows, so that's been dope to see.
Mm-hmm.
Dart is almost here, yep. So I'm kind of like holding off on like a few of the questions till everyone's here. But do you have any, you know, general comments that you've personally noticed?
I think going back into the venue portion, I don't think that we're lacking venues as much as people really say. I think that a lot of people are very used to just going to easy places. There are a lot of venues in the market, and I'm actually been just out searching because I'm launching a few events myself next year, and I've gone to so many places and they're like looking for people to come and bring entertainment there, and nobody's talking to them. You know, it's been very easy for people to go and be like, let's go to Middle East, or let's go to Sonya, or let's go to Sinclair, or let's go to this. But, you know, you look at places even surrounding Boston, like Somerville and a lot of other areas, they have these random venues, Quincy, stuff like that, that are literally just sitting there with no one touching them, you know. And even down to some of the restaurant spaces and, you know, some of the raw spaces that are in the city. I mean, granted, some of the raw spaces typically do get a little pricey, but there's definitely a lot of places out here that people really just haven't even like touched. Like there are a couple of clubs in downtown Crossing that are literally just sitting there waiting for people to come just for something as much as a showcase, and no one goes and talks to them, you know.
Yeah, we can definitely work on thinking outside of the box a little bit there. Maggie's is a good example of one of those spots that just got picked up. LC picked that up, pumped it up, and that was good. You know, Saturday night's humming there.
Yeah, that's a good example. And that place isn't the most beautiful venue. You know, it's basically a house that was turned into a venue in Quincy on the beach. But they also cater to an area that doesn't get much entertainment. So it was perfect to put something like that there. Now you have everybody that's from that surrounding towns that have a place to go to watch some local hip hop. And it's positive. They don't get many fights that I've seen. And I've been there pretty frequently, you know, and stuff like that. So it's like, I feel like people got to really get out of that mindset of like, I have to go to Middle East or I have to go here, because there's so many different venues in the market based on the size you're looking for, and also based on how professional you are in regards to how you interact with them, that there are places that are willing to play ball, just that people aren't going and, you know, having that communication.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, Tim, one thing you said in the last one that was interesting was how the tone towards Boston was refreshing. In meetings that you were holding and taking, where people are genuinely interested. Can you speak on it a bit from an outside perspective of what people outside of the bubble are seeing? Are they, yeah, what's it like now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty similar. I mean, everything that's like was kind of popping up last year is just like developed, like, you know, and name anybody, like everybody has gotten like a little bit bigger or has one or two more accomplishments under their belt. So it's like the same thing. And I think, like, you know, what was really cool was, you know, watching the Joyner Hot 97 interview, and a lot of people had a lot to say about that. And I have my own thoughts on a lot of that. But, you know, one thing that was interesting was when he got asked about the Boston scene, and he was pretty much like, it doesn't exist. Rosenberg and Ebro, and I was telling somebody this earlier today, I never could have imagined 5 years ago that those guys would be the ones to, like, correct somebody. You know, Joyner basically saying, like, a Boston scene doesn't exist, which is obviously not true. He's not aware of it. And Rosenberg jumps in. He's like, no, like, we got Stid. You guys got Stid. You got Millie's. And Rosenberg's like, the fact that, you know, you three essentially have been in the Hot 97 circuit in the last 2 months is more than New England's had in a very long time. So that was cool for me, you know, not that, like, Boston or we need defense by any means, but it was really cool to see someone of that, you know, like, visibility essentially, like, argue with someone from Massachusetts,
right,
and be like, you're wrong. Boston actually does have a scene, that was just cool to me, you know, because that's not something we, for so long, from my involvement in it, from you know, 2011, when I kind of came into Boston, the issue was I would go out of Boston, whether it was with Cam Meekins or just kind of in my own blog ventures, and every conversation I was having, it was one of two reactions. People were either, like, literally laughing at the fact that, like, I was involved with hip-hop from Boston because they had heard of nothing. Maybe Sammy Adams, maybe. Or, of course, you know, the guys from 20, 15 years ago. Or, you know, it was just this kind of, like, this like, super vague curiosity, like, I'm not hearing of anything from Boston. Like, can you put me onto something? And, you know, getting into these little, you know, these different spaces nowadays where, you know, it's like, you kind of have to know Stiz. You have to know Millie. You have to know. There's, like, a few names you, like, have to know, and that's making everybody, like, really curious. Like, oh, wow, like, you know, there must be other stuff. And you know, I said this last time, too, but, like, what makes a scene from, like, an outsider's point of view, it isn't, like, the underground is never going to, like, you know, no one's ever going to be there. Like, you know, it's like, I haven't lived in Boston in 2 years, and I'm even feeling the distance from the scene. So imagine someone that's never lived there. They're not going to know, like, what that scene feels like. But what makes a scene to them is seeing 1, 2, 3, 4 artists pop up and make a lot of noise. And then they say, oh, you know, there's something going on in Boston. So I'm just getting more and more of that where it's like, you know, Tim, what are you working on next? Like, you must be bringing up something else out of Boston because, you know, you've already brought us a few things. And we're hearing about this guy, this guy, this guy. You know, and, like, I was in the car, like, I was getting an oil change today at Honda, and I hear Latrell's Cheerio song playing in the background,
right,
in L.A. And I was just like, that's so cool. You know, like, little things like that. Again, it wasn't happening, you know, a few years ago. And sure. I don't know. We're becoming more and more relevant.
Shout out to Latrell, by the way. Today is his birthday, and he should be on next week to talk about that. Can't wait to hear about Cheerios. Yeah, but it's crazy. Like, we literally all levels of the scene are now being permeated by it. Even when I was out in L.A. a few months ago, it was crazy to see how many people from Boston were making moves in that town.
Yeah.
Because I feel like once you get out of here, if you do leave here, if you can make moves here, you can make them pretty much anywhere, is kind of
I agree with that.
What I picked 100%. Up.
You gotta grow a thick skin in Boston, but
yeah,
it definitely helps you when you go other places.
So we just got joined by Priscilla as well. We have Tim LaRue on the phone, Bedlam here, and Dart, I guess, is downstairs, so we may be able to hear from Dart soon. I wanted to talk about a few other things from the interview last time. Specifically, we were talking about hurdles and what the biggest hurdles we faced were. We'll start with Bedlam, and then we'll work our way back. Bedlam, what you had said was representation. People either have poor representation or poor representation with no resume. Do you feel like that has been improved upon in any way?
Honestly, not really. I still feel like the... it's a work in progress. I won't like trash it in any way, but you know, unfortunately, the dope part and the bad part at the same time is like everybody, they're not really looking for the right type of representation. It's kind of funny, but everybody wants Tim, you know, which is dope. He does great work, but I think they're under this impression that he alone is the one driving force that
like
can
a cheat
get them
code
from point
something.
A to point B, and it's not fair to him, you know,
right.
Because like they don't, half of them don't know how hard he works or the things that he has to deal with to gain, you know, the results for you know, his friends and artists and stuff like that. And I feel like more people should really start paying attention to like the teams behind a lot of these success stories and their stories and what they go through, because, you know, like, management isn't an easy thing for anyone that does it. I'm personally not a manager, so I can't speak from a personal perspective, but for like a lot of my label clients and things of that nature, like, I've watched a lot of these managers, and you know, even on a national level, some of these managers are terrible, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean, like, your representation really is a big key factor, and a lot of people just are willing to just put their man on, you know, or just somebody who's willing to take the role. And that's not always bad, but if he's trying to get the same results as you as a person, then it's probably not the person you need representing you. You know, like I feel like a manager should be not like a parent, but someone who can literally take care of a lot of the things that you need, and you're their priority, and you know, they're spending a lot of their time of the day pounding the pavement to create, you know, relationships
and most important,
go get the money.
There needs to be something to manage.
Dart Adams is here.
Yeah.
Somerville Medford is my kryptonite. I have one of the worst senses of direction in history of Earth. Ask anybody. But you have to have something to manage. And not only that, there are a lot of people that ask, hey, yo, you a manager? Could you manage me? And I'm like, one, I don't have the connections. Two, I can't spend 24/7 on your career. What I do is I consult. You could ask certain people. I consult. I tell them what's feasible, what's not feasible, goals that they can look at and say, all right, this is something I can reach. Because the thing is that with the industry, especially right now, we're in an exponential age. And people have this thing where they see somebody else do something and achieve something and think they want to do something along those lines, not realizing, one, you don't have their audience. Who is their audience? How did they get it? Just because they have this many plays on Spotify doesn't mean you're going to get that. Spotify is going to be your way. On top of that, do you know if they have an in it Spotify? Do you know if they have a cheat code, anything like that? If you don't know that background story, then forget about it. Do what works for you. Who are you? What do you want? And like, that's hard for a lot of people to really realize, because like, wait, they just think that I get a manager, I get a publicist, and all these things happen. No.
Now you have to work harder because
yeah.
Someone else is relying on you too.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And also, if you get a new publicist, you have to realize, hey, we're in this together. We're going to have to work our way up. So that means that if we're going to build relationships, we're going to build a rapport with people. Like, there are a lot of people I tell right now, it's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start emailing people that know me who will open the email. And then I'm going to give them updates on what you're doing. And you might ask, so did we get a response? I already know. You might not get a response. But the next update 3 months from now, the next update 8 months from now, they're going to see these. I chained them together. So if something happens with that guy, they're going to look at those three emails that already sent and look at the progression and be like, oh, I've been kept up to date. I've seen this. This is natural.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real progression from this artist. And I've seen the people that are on the bill with them. I do this on purpose because I want everything to be, I'm going to use air quotes, organic, because organic doesn't mean the same thing it did back then that it does now. As organic as it can be in this space.
Right.
And that's how you know what you have to manage. You have to get to a certain space where there are enough people with that want this artist, that want to work with you, to want to do certain things, where there's something built where, all right, now there's something to manage. I'd rather work with somebody and get them to where they can find a manager rather than be their manager.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's, and things I've noticed, things do tend to start snowballing.
Yeah.
Once you start attracting, you know, people on the same wave, and then they attract more, and it grows, grows, grows. That's a question, though. How do you go about it if you're in a scene like this where the industry is lacking behind the talent? There's a lot of lack of professionalism.
Yeah.
We see it every, it hurts people every day. I see it. How do you go about finding that person to trust who has to learn to become a manager with you? You know, what is the criteria there. Sometimes, I mean, I think you should bring in a professional, but sometimes you have to maybe have someone who is experienced in their role and then someone else who isn't, because a whole team, you need 5-6 people, you know?
I look at it sort of in a way that, perfect example, I look at, like, sports analogy. Trigger warning, sports analogy. You look at what happened with the Golden State Warriors, right? They had their first coach who was Mark Jackson. He put the foundation there, but he couldn't get them to the next level. He got them to the point where they fired him, or they realized, hey, if we bring them to Steve Kerr, he's going to be the person to get them to the next level. And then all of a sudden they win championships.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that's the case, where you just have to be somebody who gets somebody to a certain plateau point where hopefully you realize, hey, I got you to a place where now you can get somebody to take you to the next level. Because in the differences in the NBA, Mark Jackson's going to have to go back to the booth, you know?
Right.
Here, you could just go back and work with the pool of talent and try to do it again and again and again. I'm the underground guy. I've been around since like the early 90s, right? I'm never going to leave Boston, but there are a bunch of people in New York, California, the DMV, Chicago that know who I am. Because when they came through here in the mid-90s, the zeros, I was here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a constant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's Death, Taxes, and Dart Adams. So it's like you have to realize that, like, you have to play. Sometimes you have to play your position. And yeah. Mine isn't to, like, take some act and be the person that gets on the cover of Dig Boston. But hopefully, over a span of 10 years, there'll be 25 people who get on the cover of Dig Boston that I had something to do with. My name ain't in the article, but so what?
Right.
Who cares? As long as they're in it, you know? Like, there are a lot of people that did things on the national stage that I was involved in. Brandon could tell you the story. I ain't going to tell the story because I'm working on three, five other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There are a lot of people out there in the underground that I had something to do with their careers. I don't talk about it. You might know some of the stories, but I don't advertise it. That's what has to happen with this scene. We have to realize that let's just work to get people to a stage where it's not just one person getting all the attention. It's like 5 to 8. Mm-hmm. And that draws more attention. But then the beauty of it is that those 5 to 8, there's another 5 to 8 behind them. There's another 5 to 8 behind them. There's another 5 to 8 behind them.
Yeah, it's stacked. The whole farm system, for
and
sure,
that's
as
the
you
beauty,
put it last time.
That's the beauty of this scene. I've gone to so many shows that were thrown by people from the area and venues that, you know, 3-4 years ago weren't letting these acts get on stage, and they throw amazing shows. And then they put on another show, and they're throwing amazing shows, and it's not the same bill. It's not the same bill. Like, I'm in shock. Of course we talked about this before.
Right.
I was coming up as the same 3 to 5 acts. There's like 12 acts that you could swap out, and there's five to eight more that can move up to that next tier. I'm excited.
Boom. Mm-hmm. Any in response to that? Adlam's shaking his head.
I think he's covered it. I think he's covered it.
I went to.
There was a lot. I was going to chime in with. What was the original question?
The original question.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't even remember. I think we were just talking about representation.
Yeah. Like, how do you know
if it had improved? You know.
Yeah. And how do you know, like, if you're a manager? Or, like, when you need to work with somebody from the scene or try to get somebody who's a professional from outside the scene.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's funny. You know, I like, my kind of journey started off in terms of, like, management. It started off kind of like what Dart was describing. I didn't know how to label it. I didn't know, you know, I was young. I didn't know, you know, the different aspects of the business or terminology. But, you know, like, Christmas was the first artist, really, that came to me and was like, I want you to be my manager. And I didn't really know what that meant. All I knew was that I had, like, knowledge of kind of like the blog space, my own blog. I had good taste in music. I was like active in the scene, hosting events, just like being out and about, interviewing artists, going to shows. And my response to him was basically like, look, you can keep my name in your bio on Twitter as like your manager, but like there's not really too much I can do for you right now other than be a critic, and you can send me your music and I can tell you if I believe in it or not. And you know, it's funny because looking back now, to me, that is what a manager is. And back then, I didn't really know that. Back then, I was deflecting and being like, nah, I'm not a manager. Like, all I can really do is give you honest feedback. And that turned out to be the best thing I could have ever done and the best step I could have ever taken towards being a good manager, because that's what most artists, you know, most artists, if something isn't going right, they're going to be like, you know what, if I just had a better manager, or if I just had a manager or something, like, everything would work out. And like, Bellin, to your point, there's a lot of artists that have come to me or like, talk about me in the same way. Like, man, like, if it was just, if I just had Tim, and it's like, that's never true. It's not, because anything that I've worked on, it's been, like, in the trenches, like, a battle to get to the point where, like, anything is kind of, you know, like, having any type of success or on its own. And, like, what happened with Christmas and then Stiz and a few other guys over the years, like, it was this kind of, like, underground, behind-the-scenes team where it was really just, like, let's bounce ideas off each other. You send me music, and I'll kind of come up with, together, we'll come up with, like, an idea of how to, like, brand this, how to release it. Like, this song isn't very, these aren't very good, but this song, there's something different about it. And I think from my perspective, that is still what's, like, lacking big time in Boston and in general. But, like, in Boston is, I think, like, there's a lot of people that have now, you know, and I think I was one of the kind of the first in this new age that, like, took being a manager very seriously. Like, when I kind of started, there weren't too many. There were a lot of, like, friends of artists that were kind of their managers, but that weren't really breaking out of the scene. And that was my focus early on. It's like, let me physically get out of Boston, go to New York. Literally, like, I would spend my last dollar to take buses to New York. And, like, you know, part of it was my blog thing. Part of it was, like, interviewing artists, going to shows. But by doing that, I just, like, soaked up a lot of game. And I kind of brought it back to this inner circle and said, all right, well, you know, I've seen how this guy from New York moves, how this guy from Chicago moves. And the reason we know of him in Boston is because of this, 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 and this. You know, and I would make those connections and make the, you know, the journalism connections, whatever. But bottom line is, like, you know, it was a fight, and it was this kind of, like, you know, this is the song, this is kind of the strategy, and it was like a really long game kind of thing. And I didn't call myself a manager, or even really, it took me a while to even accept that role and accept that title. And it wasn't until, like, there was legitimate, even though it was low level, like, legitimate business coming across Christmas's plate in end of 2013, after we had, like, very successfully released, like, two songs and videos based on our, like, 8 to 10 months of, like, strategy and, like, this isn't the song, this isn't the vibe, this is. That's when we had, like, a couple of labels start to reach out, and a couple of, like, you know, somebody from Gambino's camp reached out, and there was just some, like, interesting stuff going on. A couple of agents started to reach out. There was interest. And then at that point, it was a no-brainer. It was like, well, you know, I think from Christmas's perspective, it was like, well, Tim's the guy that helped me even get to this point, so, like, I hope he wants to continue, like, handling the business. And I had to learn all that on the fly. You know, I had to learn how to actually be a manager. And, like, there really is no answer. There's no guidebook. There's no classes you can take that I think that can teach you how to be a manager. You can study, you know, it's like, you got to know the business in and out. I'm still learning it. But, you know, you really got to be able to just, like, you know, to be a manager, for an artist to want to have somebody manage them, you have to know on both sides, like, this is going to be a daily thing. Like, yeah. I talked to Stiz and Christmas every day, like, maybe, you know, a couple of days go by, but pretty much every day for 3 to 4 years, literally. It's like, it's an everyday full-time job for both, you know, people. And it's like, if you don't have a manager that you fully trust, fully like as a person, you know, like, you're kind of on the same page, then that shouldn't be your manager. And you know, like Dart said, that should be someone, or, you know, maybe it's a variety of people that you're kind of, like, getting consultancy from. But, like, a manager is someone that it's like, that's your team. That's, like, yeah, no matter what happens, you know. And it's like, I think a lot of people, you know, confuse the two, and from both sides. I think managers get that confused. I think artists get that confused. And I think a lot of artists don't need management as much as they need someone that's going to be very honest. And maybe that turns in my situation, it did. Maybe that turns into, like, that's their manager now. But, you know, if I hadn't given Christmas, just if I had said, yeah, like, I'll be your manager, or Stiz or whoever, if I said, I'll be your manager, and all that meant was, like, I'll take the music you're making, no matter how good or bad I think it is, and I'll try to, like, send it to people, and I'll try to, like, make something happen with it, that I would have been really bad at my job.
Right.
And they wouldn't have had the success they did. Instead, I said, you know what, I'll be totally honest, I don't think this music is very good, but I'm in your corner, and I'll tell you when I think you got something that can, like, really go.
See, that's
through that, they just kind of,
but that's the earmark
they did, and that was that.
That's the earmark of the type of person that you need in your corner.
Basically,
like, as far as I've learned, it's a lot of stuff is instinctual, and you have to have something inside yourself to know what chances to take, what not to do, when not to lie to somebody. That's one of the biggest things. A lot of people make promises, and they say you can do this, this, this. I know for a fact I'm not going to promise anything because I've been a journalist for the last 13 years. And even though I kind of have an idea where things are headed, I don't exactly know.
Well, and like Tim said in the last one, there's different roadmaps for each artist. Exactly. So just because what you had worked for one artist doesn't mean it works for the next, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, artist development is huge. It's really hard. A lot of artists today are doing their own artist development, and that's really hard. So shout out to everyone doing that successfully. But you need that critical point of view, and then the manager has to let you be an artist full time. I think that's the most important thing is, you know, when artists get weighed down too much in the business, you know, the art suffers.
Quality control is key. Artist development is key. Being honest about expectations, managing expectations is a huge part.
That's huge.
I have friends that are artists that are on major labels, that have the biggest publicists in the world, they get their premiere on Fader, and they get 7 RTs from the Fader, you know, and this is the biggest publicist you could imagine. Just getting their video on Fader alone, at the time it went on, at peak time when people go on, it's like, oh wow, that's huge. And then you go to their Vivo page and it's like, oh, they got 222 views out of this, and it's not the 280 in the plus, you know, it's 222. And I'm like, dude, you could have got 222 just from sharing it with your people in the industry or your friends on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I
explain that to people and I'm like, dude, you don't get bogged down and don't get starry-eyed at the industry, because the industry is 3 people and I know 2 of them and the other one just got the job. So there's a lot.
3 people?
Three. There's a bunch of small people in between, but it's basically 3 because they all got to answer to those 3 people. But the funny thing is that, like, Boston,
I know too many people.
Yeah, we're on the right track. It's just that you look at somebody who's successful, and I'm using air quotes, or somebody who's actually successful, and you think that I need to do what they did to get there. No, actually, if you talk to them, they'd be like, wow, you're on the right track. You're doing the right thing. I wish I had somebody in my corner, or people in my corner, or a scene around me like you have. How I got here is completely different than how you think.
Right.
You know? So, like, this is great because this is the 3rd one. This is like Return of the Jedi for this series. And like,
we're going to keep doing it. We're doing it every year as long as you guys are willing to.
Back in 2014, check back we in. Did this. There were real holes and huge gaps. And since 2014, I've gone to shows, I've been to venues, I've been to events, I've met people. And I'm just like, wow, these people weren't here when we all sat at WTBU and we had this first discussion.
Right.
These things weren't in place. This, like, the first, we had Av, right? We were talking with Av. Av hadn't even put out the Chandelier View yet. I was working with Av and Frank and Art when they were putting together the album, Mass Av and Linux. Then when it came out, you know, through the roof. And then we just let the Boston Music Awards just happen. That Boston Music Awards just capped off a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, we were talking about that at the game for sure. It was huge.
Me and Farrah One were at Zoomix talking about how vastly different that BMA experience was and that atmosphere was. Versus when he was arguing with the people that ran it because there was no representation for hip-hop or R&B.
Right.
And that's a sign on the scene, because as soon as they turned around and paid attention, it was already there, you know? So I'm overjoyed at what's happening, and I don't say that word, like, ever. If you could go through any interview, I don't say that word. I'm just really excited. I'm really excited for the future, the scene, and what's happening right now, and who's in it, and who's developing, and who's in the wings.
Well, yeah, I mean, every year it gets more exciting. I look forward to this. Like, I've been looking forward to it all year, because as I watched us knocking out all these things we talked about that had to happen, they were happening. We're running out of time, unfortunately. I wish we could do this for hours, but basically, it seems like the biggest hurdles from last year, I'll run through them real quick, but, you know, Dart, you said we had to get entrenched people in the scene and in charge to open things up and let things happen, because they're going to regardless. I think progress has been made there, for sure. BMAs are a good example of that. People that didn't, the New England Music Awards, they got absolutely wrecked this year for leaving us out. Justice was talking about, you know, fixing the individual mindset and, you know, working with collectives, not staying stuck in situations you don't like. I think people have stepped up there huge. Mm-hmm. Tim, you said no excuses, study people, look closer at yourself, what you can do. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have made big moves in the last. One of the dudes out there, Clancy, you know, he made a huge jump this year doing things like that.
In 9 months.
And Bedlam, we talked representation, but as we close this out, what do you think is next? Like, what are you looking forward to in the coming year that when we circle back next year, you're going to be excited to talk about? We can start with you, Bedlam.
I think it's one of the things I still view as an issue, but I think it's improving, is, and it goes off what you guys are talking about with, like, kind of networking. In Boston, you know, because of, like, my business and things that I do, I'm fortunate enough to be able to move in a lot of different places, you know, whether it be something major, something local, you know, something tech, something music, whatever. And I'm still noticing that one of our biggest things, which is starting to improve slowly, is the networking. You know, there's still a lot of people who aren't communicating, and there's a lot of people in the city making moves, but if they spent a little bit of time finding out who else in the market was doing things and, like, really seeing who's out here working, or just finding opportunities to collaborate in different ways. I know everybody wants to be the man, everybody wants to be the plug, but at the end of the day, it's a scene over an individual. And I still see that there's a lot of situations where a lot of people just aren't talking to a lot of other people. You know, one of the things of my business is, you know, DJ service. And I've noticed that one thing, a lot of the artists in New England do not communicate with the DJs very well. You know, they show up to a club night, they give them a thumb drive, they want the record played on spot, whether they've heard the record or not. You know, like, they don't try to go out and network with these guys. And, you know, the same thing happens with the writers in the market. You know, there's a lot of guys who just, you know, there's just like there's a lack of professionalism that still needs to be worked on. But I am seeing from a lot of key people that it is changing and they are improving. You know, I just think that people need to understand that the people that they deal with aren't the end all say all. There's a lot of people in this market. Some you may know, some you may not know. And it's worth it for you to take the time and research and see who's out here and who's doing what. There's a person in this room that's got a record, you know, in Netflix shows.
Yeah.
But no one in this room knows who to point to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's big. You know, that's big for the scene. Mm-hmm. Somebody in this room literally has a record that you can go hear on Netflix right now in a very popular TV
show.
That's
nuts.
We should be celebrating these things a lot more. And part of that comes from us networking and understanding that people are out here really doing tremendous things. And if we work together a lot more, we'd be able to showcase these things more. But then those networks and those people that they know can help this scene over here and this person over there. And it builds the scene, you know, as a whole, versus just, all right, well, they cool over there, they do these things, and they cool over there, they do those things, and they're just leaving it there. Like, we got to get out of our silos. We got to really start getting together and doing things, because that's the only way that this market is really going to be respected the same way other cities are.
Facts. Tim?
Yeah, I feel really similarly. It's a combination of that and, like, honestly, the same thing I said last year. You know, it's like, I want